In the silence of this time, hear the voice of the divine. Listen with your heart. Lord, speak to our hearts as we worship, as we pray. Speak to our hearts, we will listen and obey. Silence the noise that keeps us from gloom, for only your voice, Lord, is holy and true. You alone are holy and true. Listen with your heart, God is speaking.
Listen with your heart, He is teaching us again. In the whisper soft and still,
our true purpose is revealed. Listen with your heart.
Listen with your heart.
Welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I just pray that you might be ministered to this day in this beautiful service. I've been visiting with some people over the last month and a half, and I don't want to bring a negative feel to this, but I hope you'll listen to what I'm going to say. It's been a rough month and a half for me and several others. There's been 7 deaths and funerals I've had to attend. And we were talking about life cycles and how those of us my age are in that cycle where we're losing our parents, losing the parents' friends. But the reason I bring that up this morning is not for pity for me, because what a beautiful thing to come this morning and have these beautiful babies blessed. What a beautiful part of that cycle. And what a joy and refreshment to my soul to come this morning. I'd like to share this call to worship. And now, my beloved brethren, as they said these things to you, that you might awaken, that it might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before Him, that you may walk after the holy order of God, after which you have been received. And I would that you should be humble and submissive and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatever things you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks to God for whatever things you do receive, and see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. Thank you.
king is your mom. How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the king, and it makes my heart want to sing.
I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives, and I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through, and sing the songs you give. I'll sing the songs you give. How can I keep from singing? From shouting your name. I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love. Keep from shouting your name. I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. Keep from singing your praise. How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. Oh Lord, you make me want to sing. If
we could have the James Staton family come forward, please. James Frederick Staton, son of Andrew and Lauren, will be blessed by his grandfathers, Elder Jim Staton and Elder Mark Bernard.
There we go. Jamie, God's going to bless you this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Jamie that you have sent him to us. We're already very attached to him, and we are thankful that you have sent him to us, that we can be a part of his life. We're thankful that you sent him to parents who love him and care for him and provide what he needs, and they have given him the name of James Frederick Staton. So we ask this blessing also on Brother Oliver and on Andrew and Lauren, that their family might be blessed in the years ahead. And now, Jamie, we're going to pronounce God's blessing for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord be your constant friend. He is your truth and wisdom and counselor and guide by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. God bless you with love for your family. That as you grow up, you will take that love with you wherever you go and share it with those around you. God bless you with the comfort and safety of good friends. God bless you with opportunities to learn and to develop your mind and your talents. God bless you with opportunities to use those abilities. God bless you with courage and strength that you might succeed in the endeavors you pursue. And God bless you with a constant awareness of His goodness, that you might be gentle and humble so that you can serve the Lord and other people. Dear Father, we bestow this blessing on Jamie in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Good Shepherd who cares for us. Amen.
Thank you. June Elizabeth Valentine, daughter of Will and Laura, will be blessed by her grandfathers, Elder Steve Valentine and Elder Joe Van Biver.
Almighty God, as members of the Melchizedek priesthood, we have the privilege this day, Lord, of bringing little June before you at the request of her parents. And we recognize, O Heavenly Father, the love that she has brought into our homes. She has just left your courts of glory. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you're well aware of her. And Lord, we pray this day that she will sense and know the love of all those around her. And yes, Lord, even now she cries out to thee because she loves you. You have given her goodly parents, and they love her so much. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will watch over her all the days of her life, that she might turn to thee, O Heavenly Father, in those hours of need, those hours of loneliness, those times that she has doubts in her life, that she might, O Heavenly Father, know of your rich love for her. We pray for her parents, Lord, that they will be granted an extra measure of love as they care for her. And Lord, this day, we ask that you would look down upon this precious little baby who has been named June Elizabeth Valentine. And we know, Heavenly Father, that her grandfather and I are privileged this day that we can bring her before her God. Be ever near her, Lord, is my prayer. And we seal this blessing in the sacred name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Evelyn Joanna Campbell, Chris and Katie's daughter, will be blessed by her grandfather, Elder Larry Elias, and Elder Jack Hagenson.
Oh God, the Eternal Father, what a joy it is as we picture in our minds the little children, the babies coming to Jesus, taking them up in his arms and holding them and loving them and blessing them. And Father, we take Evelyn up into our arms this morning, as Jesus would do, to place a special blessing upon her. As Father, we know that the angels of heaven that have charge of her life are even probably present here this morning. And Lord, we're very concerned that she would be blessed in a way that would be unusual, Lord, that she would have a special portion of your Spirit to guide and direct her. We know that it will be with her. As your beloved Son said, I will never leave you alone. I'll never leave you comfortless. But we pray specifically also for Chris and for Katie, Father, because we know that how much they love her, how much she is when she is brought into this world. It was just a new beginning in so many ways. But Father, we know that what is before her is the kingdom. What before her is that holy city. But we pray for a special blessing to be in their home, that she will be guided and directed by the power of your Spirit. That Chris and Katie will pay special attention, Lord, to her needs, and pray often for her, for the sons and family that they have already, Father, that together they may grow up to be that family that would be examples of your holy kingdom here on earth. But Father, we pray that you would also bless Evelyn as a witness, because as she grows up, Father, with other children, that she may stand as a witness for you, that even as Chris and Katie will witness her in her home, that she'll be able to witness to her friends as well. But Father, we just give you glory because of this special ordinance that you have placed in your church, Father, for your little ones to be blessed, because we know that for of such is the kingdom. And Lord, we know that heaven rejoices today because another name is written. Lord, we thank you so much for what you are doing in the lives, particularly now of this family and of Evelyn. So we place her in your loving care. And we also, Lord, would not forget to pray for the grandparents as well, Father, who will care, will visit her often, will take her into their arms as well and care for her. So, Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor in the precious and holy and sacred name of the special lover of children, even Jesus our Savior. Amen.
You know, when I became a parent, I enjoyed and I loved and I was just ecstatic about my first son and just as much about my second and my third. But when I became a grandparent, there was joy in being a parent. There was understanding the responsibility. But all I can describe of being a grandparent is ecstasy. And the beauty of that is also the joy of seeing a crying baby calm down when you turn her to its mother. Last Sunday, we were sitting towards the back, and there was one of the infants. Grandma was sitting a row up, and Grandma had her for a while, and she started getting fussy. She wasn't just crying, but she was fussy. And the other grandpa from the other side of the family was sitting a row behind, so she got passed back to Grandpa, and she was okay, but she was still fussy. So then she got packed to Dad. Well, a little better, but, you know, still fussy. And then to Mom. And it was an audible sigh. It was, and she was calm. I hadn't planned on saying this, but I shared at my mother's funeral in January the same thing. The beauty and calm of being in your mother's arms. I didn't know how much time we'd have for comments, but I'd like to share a few with you. I don't know who made this cross. It's been here since I've attended. It's uncommon for you to find it in a restoration branch, but I've always appreciated it. I want to be clear with the comments I'm going to make. We don't worship the cross. We don't even remember the cross or revere the cross. We don't place it up in a holy spot. We don't put it up here to bow before it. But we do remember the cross. And we remember what was accomplished on that cross. I want to share a testimony that I've shared before here. Obviously, many of you are new here. But it always is worth repeating. Several years ago, I was attending South Chrysler, and if you've ever been in the building, they have a balcony area where you can go sit. And I had a particular sin in my life that I was literally battling. I would think I'd have it under control, and it would flare up, and I would do things I didn't like. And it was Communion Sunday, Sacrament Sunday, and we were sitting in this balcony, and I was praying about this before and during the sacrament prayer. Lord, I don't know what to do about this sin. I need some help. And as we knelt, I was taken out of that room, and I was kneeling before the cross. And as I would look up, I couldn't see. It would fade. But I could look up, and I could see the feet of Christ and the blood, and how battered even the feet were. And I could just feel that overpowering pressure. It was pressure, but angst, of how I had hurt him at that moment 2,000 years ago, how I had hurt him with the sins in my life. And I could hardly stand it. And as you can see, I'm kind of an emotional kind of guy, and I was weeping. And it was, as soon as the prayer was over, we stood up and the vision was gone. And I was taken back. And as I partook of the bread, all I could remember is how I had hurt him. And all I could think about also was, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to kneel for the prayer on the wine, because I can't handle an experience like that again. And we knelt again. And I didn't see the cross. But what I did feel, in a way that is beyond description, was this flow, just like in if somebody put a pail of water over me, of my sins and that burden being taken away. And I have not had a problem with that sin since then. Remember, remember. I want to share a second testimony. Before I do that, I want to stay with this a minute. I want to stay with how important it is to bring your sins before Christ. I don't want to sound redundant or beat on it and let you state the obvious that I hope you got out of that. But what I want to emphasize is we have to kneel and bring them before Christ. We can't just walk by the cross and say, I've got some sin, and toss it to the cross, or I know I'm a sinner. Bring them. Broken heart. Desiring that forgiveness. At one of these memorial services I just attended for Ed Van Fleet. Some of you may know Ron Van Fleet. Ron shared a testimony there. And understand this before I share the testimony. We say we want to serve Christ. I hope you mean that in your heart. But one of the things I want you to glean out of this testimony is no matter how frail or how infirm or what you may think or may not understand, you can still minister to others in the condition you are in. So Ron and Brenda were able to take Ed back to their home. He had been over at the Groves. And they knew the time was getting close. So they brought him back to their home and had a nice bed for him there. He was 95 years old. He was still physically functioning to the point of meaning they could talk to him, they could communicate. He had some strength left in his body. But at some point they needed him to sit up on the edge of the bed, and they needed him to get into a chair just over beside it. So they got him set up on the bed, and they said, okay, we need you to stand up, which they knew he had the ability to do. And when he stood up, he was kind of like this. And they said, no, we need you to stand up straight. And he'd said, I am standing up straight. And in his mind and his comprehension of spatial reality, he was standing up straight and tall. And Ron said, no, I need you to stand up more. I am standing up. Can't you see I'm standing up? And Ron said he finally went over and he's got his arms underneath around him. And he picked him up. And Ed said, what are you doing? I'm standing up. And Ron would say, no, look at my eyes. You look at my eyes. Look in my eyes. And he'd say, no, Dad, don't look over here. Look in my eyes. I am looking. No, Dad. No. Quit looking to the side. Quit turning your head. Look in my eyes. And when he looked in his eyes, he was able to get him up. And as long as he did, they could get him over to that chair. You three parents. Three sets of parents, excuse me. This is what you must teach your children. This is what you must do. But whether they be the infants who are blessed, or whether they be a grandfather, we must all learn whose eyes to look into. I want to go back to that verse I read. I want you to understand something important out of it. Alma is listing the duties, the responsibilities to become righteous, become servants of God. This is what we all so much teach. One of the duties, one of the responsibilities listed here, asking for whatever things you stand in need of, both spiritual and temporal. That's your responsibility, each one of us here. I would hope you would take this verse and put it on your mirror in the bathroom. I would hope you kids at school take a copy of that verse and put it on the inside of your notebook or the outside of your notebook. A reminder of what he wants of us. There was many things listed there, but you know, to many people, who've never met Christ. And I'm going to say my little side note here. There's a lot of people in the world who know religion, but they don't know Christ. And to many people in the world who don't even know religion, you are the face of Christ. What do you present to them? Is the face of Christ that you present to them, is it distorted? Is it twisted? Or is it loving? So here's the challenge I give to you. If you contemplate that and you see yourself as presenting that twisted and distorted face of Christ, what do you do about it? Take it to the cross.
Father in heaven, we ask a blessing on this congregation as they go from here, that the good spirit that was here might stay with them in the days ahead, to bring to their minds a memory of your goodness, of your love, and of the beauty of your creation. And so we ask your strength and blessing to each one in their daily walk, that they might truly be able to do all things through Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.